Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Not even a divided Congress can stop the U.S. Supreme Court, although some of the carpeting in the Supreme Court building may be a little dustier due to the shutdown. The 2013-2014 term begins today. We turn now to Marcia Coyle, Chief Washington Correspondent for the National Law Journal. Marcia, welcome.
Thanks, John. Good to be with you.
So it seems as though separation of powers is the order of the day with all of this business going on in Washington. Does the court look at issues like this in this term? What do we see coming up?
Oh, this is going to be potentially a really big term, John. You know, in the last two terms, we focused on one or two big cases. For example, health care two terms ago, and last term, same-sex marriage was the big one. But this term, there are at least 10 issues before the court that we would call hot-button issues, issues like abortion, separation of church and state, affirmative action, and even separation of powers involving President Obama's recess appointment power. So it's going to be potentially a very important term, and I think we're going to learn a lot about the Roberts Court.
Let's take campaign finance first. Will this be the term where the court finally does spell out money equals speech?
It could well be. I think we're going to have to see if the court wants to take baby steps when it comes to limits on contributions. As you remember, in Citizens United, they lifted federal limits on independent spending by corporations and unions. But they've never really touched federal limits on individual contributions to candidates and political parties. It's sort of been sacrosanct. But we'll have to wait and see if they are ready to do that. I think there may be at least three votes. And it's going to really come down, I think, to Chief Justice Roberts in terms of whether he wants to go down this road or whether he wants to go fast or slow.
The court could enshrine government prayer as a possibility in that a sort of free speech issue, and prayer is going to be a very important issue before the court. Also, this could be the end of affirmative action as we know it, right?
That's right. The prayer case is fascinating. This could be a big term for religion in general. The court is revisiting the area of government accommodation of prayer in a case out of New York, the town of Greece. Most of the prayers offered at the opening of their town board meetings have been predominantly Christian in nature. The court's going to look again at a 1983 ruling in which it upheld legislative prayers. And affirmative action is back again in a very different way. Instead of a challenge to the use of affirmative action, there's a challenge to the state of Michigan's ban on affirmative action in higher education.
So what about abortion? Is this going to be a comprehensive case, or is it going to be a small piece of the entire abortion debate that the court takes up?
It could be either. There are actually two abortion cases on the docket. One involves a 35-foot buffer zone around abortion clinics in Massachusetts, and the other one that I think offers the bigger potential for a big ruling is a case out of Oklahoma. The state law there regulates the use of drugs that are used to terminate a pregnancy, drugs like RU486. That case is in an iffy position right now because the court asked the Oklahoma Supreme Court to clarify the meaning of the law. But I know from the groups supporting the state law that they hope that this might be the undoing of Justice O'Connor's decision in the Planned Parenthood versus Casey case.
Finally, you mentioned the recess appointments of the president and the court deciding to take up this question of recess appointments. Given all the parliamentary trickery that's going on between Congress and the White House, I'm wondering if the Supreme Court is really aggressively interested in limiting White House power by taking this NLRB versus Cannon case.
Well, I think they really had no choice but to take it. And this is going to be really interesting, John, because there's not a whole lot written about the meaning of the recess appointments clause. So the court's really going to have to do some research into the history of that clause as well as the actual language of it. And you're right, this is a big case because there are hundreds of National Labor Relations Board decisions that hang in the balance here. And it could also affect recess appointments appointments in other areas as well.
Marcia Coyle is chief Washington correspondent for the National Law Journal. On the first Monday of October, beginning of the 2013-2014 Supreme Court term. Thanks, Marcia.
My pleasure, John. Take care.